following message is from New Life Gillette series, The Perfect Life. This week, Pastor Ball presents part one of this series.
It is good to be with you this morning. For those of you who are home where it's warmer, it is good to be with all of you, and hopefully you are staying warm. It's for all of you that were willing to come out into the cold and come here this morning, and we decided to keep the lobby temperature down so it wouldn't be a major shock for you as you came in the door. I hope that's okay. But at least we have some a little bit warmer temperatures in here, and the coffee was hot this morning. So Zach, man, you're the coffee maker, man. We are so thankful that you make hot coffee for us. You know, this is one of my favorite days of the year because life groups are starting this week. Are you excited? Some of you are out there. Some of us wore red to show that we are in a life group, and it's so exciting to get on that journey. You know, the last year, our life groups got wrecked because of all the different things, COVID being one of them. And so I look forward to this semester of life groups that's in front of us and getting to connect with so many good people. I'm also excited today because we're starting into a new sermon series. And this sermon series, it's a four-week journey, and it's about relationships and our family dynamics and how do we do relationships in our families and beyond. And let's face it, 2020 messed with our families some as well, didn't it? Do you remember back when our kids were sent home from school and they weren't allowed to be in school for that period of time? And how for those of us who were parents or grandparents and dealing with Zoom and schooling, they were stressed out, which makes us stressed out. Wow, that was a fun year. Do you know that there's still places in the United States that the kids are still at home? We need to pray for them. Because it's blessings to be in Wyoming, isn't it? 20 below, I don't care. It is great to be in Wyoming. But we talk about relationships, and relationships are hard when we have what we would call a normal year, and we go through a year like that, and relationships are even harder. So we have decided we're going to spend some time here talking about this sermon series, and it's called The Perfect Life. And, you know, because in our world, we try to figure out what does a good life look like? What does a blessed life look like? And we go through this journey of trying to figure out relationships in this world that we live in. And, you know, we're going to be focusing on our relationships within our families. Now, I know in this congregation here, whether it's online or here, who's there in front of me, you know, we have a lot of different, when it talks about families, our families are so drastically different. You know, we have singles with kids, we have marrieds and marrieds with kids, we have empty nesters and we have full nesters, and we have blended families, we have widows and widowers, we have divorced families, and you go on and on. We have all different kinds of family dynamics that we're trying to figure out in this world. And then on top of that, we have all of these relationships. We're the family of God. And so, Tom, you're my brother, our brother in Christ. Man, it's good that we're family, right? We're part of the kingdom. And, you know, so we have all of these relationships that we're trying to figure out. And so for these next 4 weeks, that's what we're going to do, is figure out. And if you look at this title, whether it's up there or down here, we see that we have a certain letter that's in parentheses. Because when we're talking about the perfect life, that one letter, maybe it doesn't fit. You see what we have if it doesn't fit? Because let's face it, we all try to present to those outside of our lives what our life looks like. And we all try to, whether it's posting online, whether it's coming here on a Sunday morning, we try to make it look like that maybe we have a perfect life. We pretend that things are good, but would I be right in saying that maybe it's not as perfect as we'd like to pretend that it is? We post things, we try to show off, but let's face it, we're messy. We're broken. We have struggles, and we all do. And so we're going to try to figure out, how do we in this world move forward? You know, the world presents a perfect life. And let me just say, the life, the perfect life that the world tries to tell us is available, it doesn't exist. But the blessed life, the blessed life that comes from walking with Jesus, learning from Jesus, and putting into practice those things that Jesus says gives us a blessed life, they are available and they are attainable. The question is, are we willing to go that direction? You know, as we go into this journey of this sermon series, the first thing we have to do is realize again, where are we as a culture? Because we have some things going on in our present day culture that is a little different than what it was a few years ago. We deal with some things here today that we didn't have to a few years ago. And so, like, for instance, we live in a picture perfect generation. You know, and that has been coming for a long time. You know, we have this world called celebrity. And the celebrities, whether it's from Hollywood, whether it's from the sports world, whether it's from politics or the rich and the famous, you name it, there's these celebrities that are out there in front of us, and they have these good-looking lives that we all watch from afar. And not only are they good-looking in general, but then we have this ability with our technology that we can make them look even better than what they already are by that airbrushing thing and stuff. For instance, you know, my wife, God bless her, she says I'm a handsome man, and I'll accept that from her because she loves me, but how much better would it be for her if I look like this? Do you see that hair? Man, if she had that, man, she'd be really excited if I looked like that. And just think, if Darcy came home every day from work and she had this to look at, woo! You know, man, she'd be over the moon excited about that. You know, we put out these images of what picture perfect could look like, and in real life, we see these images of these celebrities and these lives that they live, and we watch from afar, but we see them and we notice them and we begin to say, wow, that looks good to me. It's picture perfect. And we long for it, we idolize it, and we say, me too, me too. But should we be? Not only are we a picture perfect world, but we're also living in a world, and we've talked about this before, a world of instant gratification, don't we? You know, we live in this time period where we love our Amazon Prime that can overnight things to us, unless you live in Gillette and sometimes overnight takes a couple days. But we long for this instant gratification, whether it's in getting things in the mail or maybe it's in our world of entertainment. You know, we love to have our entertainment when we want it, you know, streaming things. I spent some time with some teenagers here recently, and it was kind of comical. They're so used to being at streaming things and skipping things when they want to skip them. And we were in this place where there was no way to stream things. And the only thing we had on the TV was that thing called cable TV. And you know, on cable TV, they have those things called commercials. And you can't skip them on cable TV. And these teenagers, they kept getting the remote and trying to push it forward. And they were so frustrated because they wanted their instant gratification. You know, we have these phones that have the world at our fingertips, don't they? If we need information, we like to have it instantly. Back in the day, not too long ago, if you needed to find out some information about something, you had to go to the library. And in the library, it's in the antique section now, but they had this collection of books called encyclopedias, yeah, Britannica and World Book. And we'd have to go and actually look through paper. Now we got Wikipedia and Google, and we can find things out instantly. You know, we are such a culture of instant gratification. And truthfully, when we're talking about relationships, there's a dark side to instant gratification because there's this thing called pornography that we can have instantly and celebrate instant gratification that way, instead of doing the old-fashioned way of building a relationship and getting married and finding the blessings of God in that kind of relationship. We find this dark side of instant gratification. Not only is it picture perfect and we're living in a time of instant gratification, but we also have this thing called ease. You know, there was a day not too long ago, I remember my mom used to do this, where she would get out like pots and pans and ingredients. And there was this word called scratch, cooking from scratch. And she would actually cook her meals. And then, as I was growing up, who remembers Hungry Man dinners? Man, aren't they good? I remember pounding a lot of those when I was young. Do they still make them? I don't even know. But we had these things called TV dinners, and how much easy it was when my mom was working on the weekends, my dad would stick one of those in the oven for us boys to eat for lunch. And then, of course, now we have restaurants everywhere. And to put some instant gratification into our ease, we can go to fast food and get it instantly. And now, I don't know if you've found this gift yet or not, but then we have this thing called DoorDash. COVID kind of made this even a bigger thing where you can just get on your phone and order it, and DoorDash will bring, I can sit in my lazy boy and get food. How cool is that? You know, we have this thing called ease in our lives where we just have this ability to get anything we want when we want it. And on top of that, order your groceries online and just go pull up and they can put it right in your car. You don't have to go and pick the things off the shelves anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these things that in our culture are good. You know, if you're a homebound person and you just need some good food or you need your groceries brought to you, what a great gift. Or if you're a single mom or even just a parent that needs to get groceries and you don't have to take your kids into the grocery store to help you put things into the basket. Oh, what a gift from God that is. The instant ability to be able to get online and connect with family across the country. Some of these things are just amazing. But here's the thing. We're talking about relationships here today, right? And when we're talking about relationships, you know, and we're thinking about this world of picture perfect, instant gratification, and ease, do those things play into relationships? Because here's what I actually think with families and relationships. Families are not picture perfect. They are messy. And they can't be instant because families and relationships take time and they're not easy. They take work. Let me say that again. Families are not picture perfect. They are messy. Relationships, they can't be instant. They take time and they're not easy. They take work. You know, we like to think that they are, and we hope that they are, but our culture says that we can have these expectations of this perfect life, but yet here's the picture of perfect life or the perfect life. It is a lie. It just is. You know, we might try to grab hold of it. We might try to have it in our lives, but it's just not there. But here's the good news. Here's the good news, because if you are sitting in your seat thinking, man, he's talking about me, I want you to look to your right and then look to your left. And everybody that you just looked at, guess what? They're in your same shoes. Because we're all messy. We're all broken. We all have struggles and we are all sinners. And if you don't believe me, dig into the Word of God. Get into the Bible. Because as soon as you start looking from the very beginning of the Bible and start moving forward, you're going to see all these families. You're hoping to see some perfect life families that you can emulate. But just start with the very beginning. Adam and Eve, man, they were in paradise. And all of a sudden, they went shoo, downhill quickly as they sinned. And then they needed counseling because they just started throwing each under the bus and blaming each other. And then they had kids. And their kids grew up to have a fight, and the one killed the other kid. That's not a great start if you're looking for family dynamics that you want to figure out how do we live. And then you start looking at Abraham and David and Solomon and Ruth and Esther, and you just find family after family and relationship after relationship where the perfect life, it's a lie. It can't be found. But the blessed life, the life of blessing, that if we're willing to seek after God and learn from God, God throughout the scriptures and still here today, he longs to pour out the hope of a blessed family and blessed relationships where you can find unconditional love and joy and peace. Because here's the deal. I don't know whether you know this or not, but God knows all about what your relationships, both within your family and outside your family, God knows. Oh, you might try to pretend about this perfect life by what you post online and how you present yourself when you come in here to church on a Sunday morning, but God knows. And you see, what God knows, that he longs for each and every one of us, and this is the thing we're going to focus on the rest of the day, that if we're willing and if we're willing to chase after it, God knows that in our relationships and especially in our families, God likes it to be authentic. Go ahead, John. God likes our relationships to be authentic. And this is going to be our focus for today. Because in each week, we're going to pick one focus from God that we can apply into our relationships to help us to find out how God can lead us into a blessed life. God wants us to live a life of authenticity, of being real with each other and real with him so that we can find out more and more. God is all about authenticity. We see this over and over in the stories of Jesus. know, Jesus, as he encounters different individuals, the ones that are broken, the ones that are broken but don't realize they're broken, the religious leaders especially, you know, Jesus, he talks over and over about this word called hypocrites. Have you ever heard the word hypocrite before? A hypocrite is somebody who believe either they believe something and they don't live like what they say they believe, or they pretend that their life is all warm and fuzzy when really it is not at all. And Jesus has some dislike for those who are just willing to live the pretend hypocrite life. And so we find, it's in Matthew 23, where we find Jesus sharing some of the biggest emotions that he shares throughout all of the Gospels, because he is fed up with the religious leaders. They are the ones that are supposed to be up here and knowing how God wants them to live, but God, Jesus watches them and he sees that they are living that pretend hypocrite life. And he starts in chapter 23, he starts off like this. He says, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they preach.'" Ouch. Now, the crowds, as they would have been hearing Jesus say this, they're looking at the religious leaders, and as they have looked before, they're thinking, wait a second, they're the ones that have it all together. But Jesus sees beyond what they're presenting on the outside, and he sees their hearts, and he sees their relationships in the trenches of their lives, and he realizes, but man, they are missing out on something so much greater. Now, I invite you, we're not going to be able to spend the whole, read the whole chapter of chapter 23 because it's a big one, but I invite you during this week, check it out. See what Jesus has to say in totality to these religious leaders who should be demonstrating what a life of Christ looks like, but boy, were they missing out. And he shares a lot of meat in there. But we're going to jump down and we're going to look at a few different places to help us understand this idea of what Jesus calls us to in our relationships of authenticity. Jumping down to verse 23, he says this. He says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisee, you hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens." Now, wait a second. They're tithing. That's not such a bad thing, right? I mean, we talk about that regularly here at New Life, that understanding of placing our faith in God and out of our faith in God, sharing that 10%. It's all through Scripture, this understanding of tithing. And so Jesus, they're tithing, but notice what they're tithing. Their herb gardens. Anybody ever grow herbs in their house before? Now, when you're growing herbs, do you have like a big field of dill or mint in your little gardens, or do you have that one plant of mint on your counter so that when you want some mint tea, you can pull off a couple leaves, put it in your tea, and enjoy some mint tea? Well, of course, that's what we do. Unless you're growing it for Heinz pickles, you don't grow a lot of dill on the countertop. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were growing those mints, those herbs, on, just like we did, and instead of tithing their big fields of corn, they were doing that also, but they were also taking their mint plant, counting off, okay, I have 103 leaves on my mint plant, so I need to take 10.3 leaves, and I'm going to walk to the church and place that in the offering plate. They were following the letter of the law to the degree that, well, maybe was it hurting their relationships a little bit? Jesus goes on, he says this, But you ignore the more important aspects of law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things in life. You know, how often do we get so focused on the little things that we think are important in life that the world might tell us that these are the things you need to focus on, that you need to do if you want to have that great, perfect life? But in doing so, we miss out on the bigger things of life. You know, Karen and I did this in our younger days when our big kids were younger, and because we followed what the world said we needed to do. And that was getting our kids, if we're going to have great kids, we need to get our kids involved in every activity under the sun. That's what the world was showing us. And so we started doing that. And our kids were involved in everything, sports and Cub Scouts and musical things. They just did it all. And very quickly, we learned that focusing on all those little details of life, jumping into the minivan or the truck and running them from here to there, stopping McDonald's or Sonic, stressed out, getting through the drive-thru quickly so we can get to the next thing, we started to realize when it came to the end of the night and we're all just exhausted, is that the best thing for our family, for our relationships? Could it be that maybe just spending more time together and dealing with some of those things that Jesus says are more important, like mercy and walking in our faith together. Maybe just giving the kids time to play and be kids, using their imagination. We began to learn that maybe there are things that are more important than what the world says we need to do in all the details of life to enjoy life. Now, I'm not saying that activities for our kids are bad. My kids are involved. My son's a drummer. My one daughter dances. The other one's involved in singing. You know, activities are not bad. Soccer's not bad. Dance is not bad. Being in the kids in the musical's not bad. But could it potentially be that if we do every single thing to the letter of the law that we're missing out on something even better? Jesus continues. He says something else. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You ever have one of those moments where you're just longing for a good cup of coffee and the coffee's all brewed and you reach up in the cupboard and you pull off a cup and it looks clean. It came out of the dishwasher and was put up there and you take the coffee and you pour it in there and you take a sip, but the cup looked like this when you pulled it out and you didn't realize it at the time. And all of a sudden you take a sip of that coffee and you realize there's floaters and there's a different taste than what you thought should taste like coffee. You ever have that situation? Can you imagine how disappointed we would be if you took that drink of coffee and that's what you received? So oftentimes this is how our lives are. We make this presentation of the outside of our lives like everything is just good. Whether it's posting it online or what we show here on a Sunday morning, we say everything looks good, but yet maybe behind in the trenches, maybe it's not as good. Maybe there's some dirt involved. For instance, here's a perfect example for my life. Look at this pretty picture. Aww. Yeah, who here loves getting family pictures taken? Anybody? No, I love the final product, but who here struggles with the day of family photos? Anyone out there? Is it just me? Let me tell you the story. I mean, this looks great. Beautiful scenery. You look nice. I have three big kids who care about what they look like. And so just the process of picking out our clothes, oh my word, just give me something to wear and let me come. And then this was taken in Spearfish Canyon. So we had an hour and a half drive to get there. We'd never been there before. And the photographer told us how to get there, but we got confused and we got lost. So we got there a half hour late. Can you feel the stress building in that car? 2-hour drive. And finally we get there with peace in our hearts. Daniel jumps out. We're already late for the photographer. They have someone else after us. So we need to get pictures taken quickly. And Daniel sees rocks and he sees the little stream and he sees, Dad, there's sticks. And he wants to play. And we're saying, no, Daniel, you need to look happy now so that we can snap this picture and show the world how good our family is. Anybody enjoy those days as much as I do? But, Jesus shares this perfect example, this illustration of what our lives can look like, that our lives, we make it look like that beautiful cup where the outside of our lives, it looks good and we pretend and things are just wonderful. We do this regularly. We walk down the hallway. Somebody asks us the question, how are you today? I'm good. But on the inside, we're not good. In our relationships, they're broken. We feel dirty. We feel lost. We feel alone. And we're hurting. Jesus knows what's going on in our lives. And he knows that if we miss out, that we're going to struggle. You see, here's the deal. Families are messy. They just are. And there's usually some dirt involved. There's usually those moments in our lives where we're just struggling with everything involved and what's going on. What if your home could be different? You know, Jesus says this to them, "You blind Pharisees, first," this is the first thing, "first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside of the cup and the dish will be clean too." You know, what if in our families, in our relationships, what if we came together and we created what we would call a safe haven in our homes, in our relationships? What if we provided that opportunity for us to come together where we would have this thing called unconditional love? And maybe that thing that Jesus talked to earlier, that important thing called mercy, where if we came together and we started to clean out and share with each other that, you know, I got some brokenness, I got some dirt that I need to share with you. And if we came into that safe haven knowing that there's going to be mercy instead of judgment or condemnation from others. What if we came together into our life groups as we start into the semester and we're willing to come together and be able to share with each other, you know, I'm hurting and I'm struggling, not just to get attention from others, but more importantly, just so we can pull together as brothers and sisters in Christ and the family of God to walk together into that better life that Jesus has for us. Because here's the thing, if you want better relationships, this is what we need. Better relationships begin with authenticity. Better relationships begin with authenticity in a safe place where mercy and unconditional love can be found. What are your relationships like? Are you providing that safe place where we can grow together and care about each other so that we can clean out that cup and find the blessed life? Jesus shares one more. Let's look at this one. In verse 27, he says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." What in the world is a whitewashed tomb? Well, back in biblical times, they would have these. It looked like this. They would have these tombs where there were dead bodies laid to rest in there, and they would paint them, and they would whitewash them. And the reason they would make them look all nice on the outside was so people would take notice. Because if you were a Jewish person, and if you walked along and happened to touch not just a dead body, but a tomb where a dead body lies, it's not just a yuck factor. You would be considered what was called unclean. And if you were unclean, you were not permitted to come into the temple for worship. And that was a huge thing. Temple worship was huge for those people back then. And so they would pretty up the tombs to make them look nice so that people would realize that they needed to stay away from them. Jesus, in calling the religious leaders that they were whitewashed tombs, they knew exactly what Jesus was saying to them, that on the outside, boy, they were prettied up. They looked like they had their lives together. But on the inside, dead people's bones. For many of us, we get this. You know, we put this outward image to the people around us and we make them think, boy, life is good. But man, for so many of us, we feel dead. We feel lost and alone and broken and hurting because of what we have done or what others have done to us. For many of us, we have these feelings in our heart. We wonder, is there anything better? Is there something available for us? And the answer is yes, there is. Salvation is available. For those who are willing to chase after Jesus, for those who are willing to seek the heart of Jesus and learn from him in relationships and become authentic, real with Jesus and with those around you in a safe place, salvation can come. You know, for many of you, you know of my relationship with Pastor Mike, and you see it, and it seems like it's really good. Well, let me just tell you, our relationship is better than really good. It's hard for me to believe that just 4 years ago, we barely even knew each other. We'd only talked on the phone a couple times. But you know what changed it? A cup of coffee. The staff knows and other people knows that almost every Wednesday, Pastor Mike and I disappear for about an hour. And we go out to one of the local coffee shops in town and we sit together. And over that cup of coffee, we get real and we get authentic. Yeah, we talk about ministry and things that we need to have coming up. But more importantly than that, we talk about life and what we're struggling with, what temptations we might have. We talk about what fears we might be dealing with. And we challenge each other. We encourage one another. We hold each other accountable. And we stir each other to move forward, to become who God has created us to be. And man, because we trust each other so deeply, because of that cup of coffee and our willingness, more important, to be authentic. You know, we were just at a winter retreat for a bunch of pastors, and Pastor Mike and I were there, and one of the speakers looked out at the crowd of pastors and said, if you're a pastor, you need three special relationships. You need to have a mentor, you need to have a partner in ministry, and you need to have a friend. So it was so cool. Just like, we just both looked at each other. Pastor Mike and we looked down the row at each other, and we just went, check, check, check. Because we are that. We have others as well. But we look at each other, and we're just brothers. What about you? What about in your homes this week? Or in your relationships, whatever those relationships look like, what if this week you were willing to provide a safe place where you could encourage each other in those relationships to come into this relationship and say, you know what? What's going on with you? Let's be real. Let's be authentic. Let's be messy. Let's realize each other's broken. Let's realize that we have stuff in our lives. There's dirt. We're sinners. And let's begin with that authentic relationship so that we can move from where we are into the place where God has in store for us. Because again, here's the deal. Can you take off the tomb by chance? There we go. Better relationships begin with authenticity in a safe place where mercy and unconditional love can be found. God, help. God, we are so thankful that you are a good God and you come to us with unconditional love, with grace, with mercy, with righteousness, and with goodness. Because we sit here before you, oh God, and every single one of us, although we have tried, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook, God, we have tried to present something that maybe we're not. We tried to show a perfect life and it's a lie. Because God, every single one of us in this crowd, we're messed up. But the good news, God, you have a better life in store for us. So God, help us. Help us to be havens of blessing, havens of grace and mercy and compassion, so that as we come to each other, whether it's in our homes, our families, our life groups, that we can share with each other that gift of unconditional love, of mercy that you share with us. And as our lives, as our relationships get better because of what you have shown us and taught us, God, may you get the glory. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.